Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you part one of our program, Vahini Satsang. Today's episode was first aired on the 20th April 2017 as part of Thursday live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang, our series where we spend our time ruminating on Bhagwan's precious writings. We started with Prema Vahini many weeks ago, and this journey trying to assimilate his teachings come directly from him through this beautiful volume of Prema Vahini continues. We have done till now 6 chapters of Prema Vahini. In the previous session, as we concluded the fourth paragraph, the last paragraph of chapter 6 of Prema Vahini, it ended on the note of Bhagwan asking us to not only recognize the difference between what is real and what is unreal, but also conduct our lives in a manner that demonstrate the assimilation of this knowledge into actual practice. And as we were discussing this, we realized that Bhagwan was actually leading on, preparing us for what was coming in the next chapter, chapter 7. So today we begin chapter 7. It will help us to understand and reflect more on what Bhagwan prepared us, what Bhagwan communicated to us in this four paragraphs of chapter 6. He was leading us on a step-by-step basis to what he wanted to convey to us in chapter 7. In chapter 6, it was that journey of preparation, of understanding, of this beautiful philosophy, of this beautiful way of leading life, so that it is meaningful, it is purposeful. And with Bhagwan's grace, we have in the studios today two former students. Both of them were with us in the previous session, Brother Balram Chandran from Chennai and Brother Bhargav, who works here in Prashantinilam in the administrative block of Sri Siddhi Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Both of them have had long years of proximity with Bhagwan and continue to serve his mission in various ways, one in Chennai and one in Prashantinilam. Really grateful to Bhagwan that he has sent us these two beautiful souls as we continue to drink in the nectar of Prema Vahini. So let's begin by listening to the first paragraph of chapter 7.
Sadgunami Jnanamu. జ్ఞానమనగా తెలుసుకొనుట అని చెప్పుదము. కేవలం బుద్ధితో తెలుసుకొనుట మాత్రమే కాదు, ముద్ద నోటియందు పెట్టుకున్ననే భోజనం చేసినట్లు కాదు, దానిని నోటియందు ఉంచుకొని నమలవలెను. అది గొంతు నుండి జఠరమునకు పోయి శరీరమునందెల్లా వ్యాపించును, దేహమును పుష్టివంతం చేయును. అప్పుడే అది నిజమైన భోజనమగును. అదే రీతిగా కేవలం బుద్ధిగత జ్ఞానము వలన ప్రయోజనం లేదు, అది జీవితమందెల్లనో వ్యాపించవలను. ఆ జ్ఞానము చేతులు, కాళ్ళు, కన్నులు మొదలైన ఇంద్రియాల ద్వారా ప్రకటితము కావలను. జ్ఞానేంద్రియములను, కర్మేంద్రియములను, సర్వకర్మలను వివేకంతో అనుష్ఠించు స్థితికి రావలను. వట్టి పాండిత్యము జ్ఞానము అనబడదు. సద్గుణమునే నేను జ్ఞానమందును.
ప్రేమవాహిని చాప్టర్ 7. We define jnana or wisdom as knowing. It is not mere knowing through the intellect. Eating does not mean placing the food near the mouth. It has to be put inside and chewed. Then from the throat it moves to the stomach and eventually spreads to the entire body. Only when it nourishes the body can it be called real food. Similarly, wisdom at an intellectual level is of no use. It should permeate your life in entirety. This wisdom should express itself through your organs, be it your hands, legs or eyes. One needs to come to the stage where both the karmendriyas and nanendriyas, the sense organs of action and perception, carry out their actions with discrimination. Mere scholarship cannot be called wisdom. I label only sadgunam or virtues as wisdom.
So that was very powerful, isn't it? Very clear.
Yeah.
The Swami is telling us that I label only that as wisdom when the virtue or your gunam translates into assimilated action in your real life practice.
Yeah, in fact, when I was reading this line yesterday, and interestingly, it's that time of the year in office where you're due for your performance appraisal. So, in fact, I'm supposed to, you know, due to have the discussion anytime with my boss. And this, you know, you look at this in a way, all the Vahinis are treatises written by Swami, which communicates his expectation from a devotee. And, you know, I think somewhere logically, it becomes the basis for he appraising you as, you know, as in terms of how much progress you make on the path, his path.
Yes.
So he's very clear. He's saying that, see, you read my Vahini, you are able to explain it, you're able to theorize, you're able to, you know, have study circles on it. That is necessary, but that isn't sufficient. Ultimately, if you were to, you know, if you score marks in my eyes, then ultimately it has to translate into action, into virtuous action. So very, very clear. So which means Swami is going by observable behavior, actual action on the ground. Again, a continuation of what was said yesterday. So that's coming out very, very clearly.
Just to add to him, if you remember, as in this particular point, the main thing which he always stresses is sadgunam. He tells, I label only sadgunam. Whatever I tell, intellect, everything is fine.
Yes.
But sadgunam, virtues, is what I consider wisdom. So if you remember, Shirdi Sai Baba, he had only two dictums.
Yes.
Shraddha and Saburi.
Saburi.
And I feel, in this particular sadgunam, what he's talking about, I think these two fall very nicely into that slot. Shraddha, as we all know, is faith. I have faith in God. I have faith in Swami. Does it end it? No. He says that faith should be combined with patience. So now, today I have faith. Tomorrow also I have faith. Day after tomorrow there is a down in my life. Do I still have faith or not? So any testing time, any time of my life, whatever happens, that faith, that Shraddha should be as steady as it was when I was happy. So I feel that sadgunam, what I intuitively felt when I read this, is that you should have the faith in me and it should be there at all times, irrespective of what happens to you. You go through any phase in your life, do you have the same faith in me? Is there subtly the patience part comes, the saburi comes. Because we say, I have faith in God, I have faith in Swami, why having these problems? There you're losing the point.
Yes.
You're having the problems, there you should have faith. When you persevere with the same faith, even if you are in a downside of your life, there comes the patience. So basically there are two sides of the same coin, I feel. That you should have faith, and combined with it, you should have patience. So when you combine both of them together, then the surrender or wisdom or jnanam, I think it comes as a platter on to you.
Yes.
That's interesting you mentioned faith. And I think faith not just as an intellectual feeling, but as...
Yes.
And there has to be a specific manifestation of it in the form of action. So remember, brother, yesterday you brought up this beautiful point where Swami gave an instruction to his devotees saying, read the life of saints. So again, you know, two things come to mind, two examples come to mind, if I may share them.
Please.
One is again... if you go back to one of the direct disciples of Ramakrishna, who is maybe not as well known as Vivekananda, but his name is Shashi Maharaj. His name was Ramakrishnananda.
Yes.
Swamiji named him Ramakrishnananda.
Took care of the Ramakrishna Mart in Chennai.
Chennai. In fact, yes, it was set up by him. And that's why, you know, I have familiarity with, you know, the place and the, you know, a little bit more familiarity on him as one of the direct disciples. So, you know, Swamiji named him Ramakrishnananda. In fact, he wanted that name for himself. Swamiji, Swami Vivekananda wanted the name for himself. But then he felt that Shashi Maharaj was more deserving of the name because really served the master. And for him, the master was real. So just one example of how, you know, faith can actually be real and not just a concept. So, you know, when the early days in that mutt, when, you know, the mutt was constructed, they had very limited funds. So the construction was actually substandard. So, in Mylapore in Chennai.
Yeah.
So, what, I'm talking about the old mutt. So, what happens is that often when it rains,
yes,
you know, the roof would leak and water would flow.
Yes.
Now, what happens is that, and interestingly, the water would flow only on that particular part of the mutt, which is directly above Sri Ramakrishna's photo. In those days, they had a photograph. They didn't have an idol. So, it would fall on the master. Now, one of the disciples of Ramakrishnananda were surprised to find that one day when he woke up, he found Ramakrishnananda was not there in his bed. He went looking for the Swamiji and he found that the Swami was actually standing right next to the altar over Sri Ramakrishna's photograph and holding an umbrella, you know, so that the water does not fall on the master. Now, the interesting thing is, there was no major leak in the other parts of the building. So, all that Ramakrishnananda needed to have done is to just pick up the photo, move to a different place and go back to sleep. And remember, this is midnight.
Yes.
So, then the disciple says, he says, Maharaj, all that you have to do is move the photo. I mean, what's the point of standing there and holding the umbrella? But then without even batting an eyelid, Ramakrishnananda very, you know, in a very normal tone replies saying that, no, I can't do that. Because if I move the photo, I'll end up disturbing the sleep of the master. Wow. Now look at this. This is beautiful.
So,
which means for him, and remember there was nobody to observe him. See, by chance the disciple woke up. So this is not a stunt. Nobody would actually see it.
For him, it was a living presence.
For him, it was real. For him, it was real. So, now that is real faith in action. You know, like Swami says, it can't be just an intellectual concept. No, just like food placed on the tongue. It needs to go, it needs to nourish. And ultimately, it has to translate in the form of sat gunas and sat pravarti. You know, this is one. Second thing I remember is, again, we normally talk of discrimination, we talk of jnana, we talk of how, you know, Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. Now, this is one thing to say it intellectually, but if you go back to the life of Ramana Maharshi, there was somebody who shared a very beautiful episode. I believe that somebody had, some person who had didn't have too much of information about Ramana Maharshi had actually written a biography on Ramana Maharshi. And there were a lot of factual errors in the biography. The factual errors were to such an extent that this author had actually mentioned that Ramana Maharshi was actually a grihastha.
Mm-hmm.
That is, he is a householder who got married. No, just imagine. So what happens? He takes this text and he's done it in good faith. I mean, he didn't know. It was genuine error. He takes this, you know, text of the to-be-published book to none other than Ramana Maharshi and says, Maharshi, can you please vet it? So he goes through the entire book, and including the portion where it's mentioned that he is a grihastha or he is a householder. He goes through the entire book and says, everything is fine. Only thing is the word grihastha, you use the word tha, it's actually tha. I mean, he says, the tha you used is wrong. So he says, okay, I'll change that. Now, there was another Swamiji who was standing there, who was a devotee of Ramana Maharshi. He says, no, there's something seriously wrong. Now, this man is going to go and publish it now. So he stops him saying, wait, give me back the book. And takes it back to Ramana Maharshi and says, Maharshi, I mean, what is this? This guy's actually mentioned that you are a grihastha. He says, all this is false. Now, the moment he says, all this is false, I believe Ramana just smiles and says, oh, the rest of it is true, is it? Because for him, everything is Maya. So, see, it's one thing to intellectually say Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya, to say that the world is an illusion, but it's something very different. So, which means, see, again, this is not something which is a stunt. This is not to impress anybody. It was a genuine faith or genuine, you know, it was not just, you know, concept understood at the intellectual level, but it had translated into action. It had become a way of life.
Yes.
I think for whether it's a Ramakrishnananda or a Ramana Maharshi, it becomes a way of life. So Swami's expectation is very clear.
Yes.
You read all this.
Just add to you one, I remember one incident. I don't know if you know, when you were students, one very old devotee of Swami. We always look up to him. Whenever, not look up to him, look for him.
Mm-hmm.
He'll come with nice watermelons and then
yes.
berries and all. He'll be full. Yes. Pulsana will be full. Swami will tell, go get it. So all of you will go and yes. get one. If you, I don't know. He remember.
Yeah, I know. I remember the person, very senior person. And they used to say that he is Swami's classmate or Swami's from Uruvakonda or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, from where Swami did his first bhajan.
First
his,
bhajan.
From Uruvakonda. Or something.
Yeah.
So he was like a beautiful person. Like he comes means we'll all be very happy. Oh my God, watermelon will come or some mango will come or berries will come, something like that.
The fruits of your devotion will all be available.
In concrete form.
Once, like, this I remember that when we studying, but after that also, once Swami wanted to show what he is actually. So once what happened that he just came, he happened to come and as usual he got the big watermelons and they were all dumped in Poonchandra. We all got them. We were very happy. Swami called him and I was lucky to be just near the interview room door that time. Swami called this senior devotee and told, looking at us, four boys who were sitting in the bhajan hall, told, now I'll show you what is devotion, what is faith. So we were really curious to know what. Then Swami calls him. He used to limp a little bit. He was not able to walk properly. Very old. Slowly comes to Swami. Swami waits for him. And then Swami tells, tell me what you want to do. Tell me what is your desire. So he just looks at Swami and tells, Swami, meer eppadi varaku aadistaro appadi varaku ee deham aadutundi. Ante. Swami, oh, it means till you are going to pull the strings, this puppet will play. Otherwise, it'll stop. Somebody will really. So, when he told really, this old man, this senior devotee, the way he repeated the same sentence, like, Swami wanted us to see the intensity in his face. Oh my God, it was like, you feel that he's living it when he's talking it. That Swami, when you decide, I'll stop. This thing will stop. Till you decide it should continue, it'll continue. So, I felt that is what is faith, surrender. I saw it in his eyes that day.
Yes.
Like, this should be what we should all have. Swami tells very, like it is not that you think and you answer, as we discussed yesterday.
Yes.
Spontaneously. Swami never sits with him. I'll talk to you and ask you, I'll impress the students and ask.
Yeah.
No. Swami just came out of the interroom and told, I'll show you what it is. He calls him, slowly limps and comes. Swami point blank asks him this question. And out of the blue, spontaneously, like without effort, effortlessly, Swami, this is just a, you pull the string, I live. You remove the strings, I'm over. I come back to you.
So true. It's one thing to, you know, recount Swami's poem, Te 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 Bamma.
Yes.
And, you know, it's one thing to sing that or talk about that in a speech, but one thing to live it. And so, Swami's talking of living models, role models, so that you totally become a part of, it becomes a way of life.
And just to add, that day, till now we are only enjoying his fruits, what he used to say. But that day we really enjoyed the fruit of his devotion also. Right?
Yeah.
What he is actually.
Yes.
What I felt is that Swami wanted to show it to us. Because that it is just bhajan time and all will be sitting in bhajan hall, all will be crammed, Swami comes. He wanted to show everyone that he is not only, why I have blessed him with this giving prasadam to all of you is not just because of this. He is a sterling devotee.
Yes.
Because of that, I have given this chance to him.
So it's not just the fruits, but you had attained fruition.
Fruition, yes.
And if you are someone who has attained that fruit of devotion, you know, who has assimilated that fruit of devotion in your heart, you can become God's instrument to spread sweetness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, beautifully spoken,
yeah.
Correct.
Only then you become God's instrument. You know, then you are wise. Then you are someone who is picked up by Lord to sweeten the lives of others.
Exactly.
So beautifully put, Bishop Brother, correct.
And the other incident that comes to mind, you know, as we're talking about performance appraisal and devotee, is I remember many years ago, Mr. Ramabrahmam was the caretaker of the Vrindavan Ashram. Again, someone whose very mention of the name always fills devotees and people who have seen him.
Mm-hmm.
And the students who have interacted with him, just they feel like, you know, raising their hands in salutation because of the devotion and because of the faith that he had in Bhagwan. So it was one occasion when he gave a wedding card to Bhagwan. It was one of, I think, his granddaughter's wedding or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the family desperately wanted him back home in Andhra. And so there were 15 days still for the occasion. So he gave the card to Swami. Swami asked what it is and he said, Swami, this is the occasion. Swami said, okay. you should go for this event. Mm-hmm. They are all waiting for you. Your grandfather, they all love you. He said, okay, Swami, he said. And so it was 1 week after that. And, you know, there are calls from home, you know, when are you coming? And he said, yeah, we'll see, you know. So he doesn't say anything. And 2 days are left. And still, he has not started his journey. In those days, it would take you, you know, at least 1.5 days to reach. And 1 more day is left. Still, he has not taken any decision. And on the day of the wedding, that day Swami comes. Swami says, what, today is the wedding, no? You didn't go? I told Swami, if it is really important for me to go, you would have told me before. If you have not told, which means it is not needed for me to go.
Beautiful surrender.
And then Swami called the boys. I told, he is my true devotee. This is what a true devotee is, Swami said.
Yeah, and to consistently do it across those situations.
Same. Yes. Any vicissitude you get in your life,
yes.
Follow the same faith.
The same faith, yes.
Yeah, because in fact Swami here says that it should not, you know, be just one part of your, it should spread to all organs.
Yes.
In fact, I think figuratively, I mean, what it seemed like to me is, Swami is saying that it can't be only one sphere of your life.
Yes.
You know, Swami talks of a part-time devotee and a full-time devotee. So, it can't be that you act like this or you act in consonance or in resonance to this feeling only in certain parts of your life which is considered spiritual. But then it permeates every single aspect of your life. Yes. Whether it's the so-called worldly part of your life and the other part of your life.
Yes. As I read that line, you know, this wisdom should express itself through your organs, be it hands, legs or eyes. What comes to my mind is that beautiful poem that Swami wrote for all the boys. Oh Lord, take my love and let it flow in fullness of devotion for Thee. Take my hands and let them serve incessantly for Thee.
Yeah.
Take my eyes and let them work incessantly for Thee. You know, take my heart and let them be completely dedicated to Thee. Take my everything and let me become an instrument in the hands of Thee. And so that is what Swami is telling. If you are someone who recognizes that He is the real and He is the only essence of life, then that essence of life should reflect in everything that you do, everything that you are, everything that happens through you. And I think the best example, the most concrete example, and the most wonderful, spectacular example is Hanuman. You know, literally in his every hair, every organ, every hair, he could experience Rama resonating. And he could prove it to the world also. He showed it to the world when there was, not for exhibition, but just to help the world understand. So that the world does not disrespect his notion of what is devotion.
Maybe it was just a natural expression of a conviction that he had.
Yes.
So maybe, you know, he, you know, kind of opening up his heart and showing that, you know, the Lord resides there. It was a natural expression. Of you know, something which had become you know, the core of his very being.
Yes.
Coming back to our thing, if you know, As students, Swami gave us also a mantra. I don't know if you. I request Brother Balchandra Ramchandran to at least sing that. We have our night prayer which we have.
Yes.
Actually, it does that. Karacharana Krutamba. Swami has himself told that many times I wait for my boys to sing that and offer everything what they do with every organ to me so that I accept whatever they offer it to me.
Okay.
I request, please sing that for us.
Oh, sure, brother. After a long, long time, yes. Karacharana kritamba kayajam karmajamba shravananayanajamba manasamba paradam vihitam avihitam va sarvametat kshamasva jaya jaya karunabdhe shri sai deva shambho
Shri Sai Deva Shambho.
Interesting you mentioned this, brother, because I don't know whether you've... you know, there's actually a part, or the concluding part of another big stotram, which actually leads us into... So the interesting thing is, when I was actually going through, you know, this script or this portion of the chapter, especially when we get to 7.2, what is exactly in my mind was the Shiva Manasa Puja.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Samayana Swami has got very strange ways of confirming that the idea is not yours. So there's no, I mean, apparent reason for, you know, Brother Bhargav to bring up this particular point. It's as though Swami is confirming that, yeah, actually 7.2 is related to Shiva Manasa Puja.
No, really, when you were talking about Hanuman and this, every body, every part, you should have this, I immediately remembered we all sitting, switching off the night lamps and just sitting and doing that prayer, offering it into Swami.
Yes.
I don't know, that just flashed in your mind.
Yes.
And anyway, he's there to sing for us. So I thought, no problem.
So perhaps, so let's listen to 7.2.
Yes, yes, and yes. Then because I think that will take us straight into Shiva Manasa Puja.
Wonderful.
Manan seva cheyutaku konta bhogamunu kuda anubhavinchavalasi unnadi. Bhogamu kuda yajnamunandali oka bhagame. Shariramanu yantamunaku annamu ane boggunu veyavalenu. Ee aaharamu yajnamu kakapoyinanu yajnamunu siddhimpa cheyutaku ఇది ఒక ముఖ్య సాధనం. ఇయ్యది ఉదరపోషణము కాదని యజ్ఞకర్మయే అని తెలిసికొనవలెను. తోటలోని ఒక పుష్పమును తెచ్చి దేవుని తలపై పెట్టినంత మాత్రాన అది పూజ కాదు. ఆ పువ్వులు పూయుటకు తోటలో చేయు పరిశ్రమ కూడా పూజయే. శరీరమునకు కావలసిన ఆహారమును ఇచ్చినప్పుడే అది చేయవలసిన పనులు చేయగలదు.
Even as you're doing seva, you're required to experience a little bhoga or enjoyment. Even this bhoga is part of the yajna or sacrifice. For the machine called body, food is the fuel. The food may not be a yajna but is an important means to fulfill the yajna. One should understand that eating is not udaraposhana or filling of the stomach. It is indeed a yajna, an act of sacrifice. It is not worship when you pick up a flower from the garden and place it on the Lord's head. The effort put in the garden for the flower to blossom is also worship. Only when we provide the body with the required food can it perform the needed functions.
Yes, brother. So please share what was coming up.
Yeah.
Even as you were discussing 7.1.
So, see, this is where Swami is, you know, made it very... Swami gave a fantastic, beautiful solution, and I would say a very inclusive solution, if I may use the word. Because if you see, you know, if you're in the world, now, if you see a significant portion of the, you know, the brethren in the Sai world, the brothers and sisters are in the world. When I say in the world, not everybody has got the opportunity to be in Prashant Nilayam, you know, and serve him directly. A lot of us are engaged and in affairs of the world most of the time. And, you know, apparently most of the time the work that you do is for earning a livelihood. It is secular in nature. It's not directly related. It's not Swami's work in the conventionally understood sense. So one beautiful thing which Swami has done is this. Swami is actually here. Swami is saying that it is not just the actual yajna which is the yajna, but even the preparatory work for the yajna is yajna. He says, okay, so let's say you have to do Swami's work or what is conventionally understood as Swami's work or seva. Now to do that, first of all, you need a body which is, you know, full of energy. You need a mind which is worry free, and you need material resources. Even for good work, you need material resources. So somewhere Swami is suggesting that the secular work that you do can also be seen as a means of funding this. And thus, the moment you start looking at it that way, what happens is it ceases to be secular work or it ceases to be worldly.
Yes.
But Swami also says the critical difference is how do you view your work? Do you look at it as udara poshana? Or you know, so I think Swami used to say for the stomach. Swami used to say putta kuti kosam or something like that. No, something for the stomach. It's not just for the stomach, okay? You don't work just for the stomach. Cut something like that. Whatever the little Telugu I understand. And so as long as you say work is not for work's sake for my career, but you clearly are aware that this is not my main purpose in life, but I'm using this to fund my main purpose in life. The moment that attitude comes, then what happens is it becomes a part of the yajna. So that way, and why I say it's inclusive is thereby, you know, what happens? You know, a lot of us in the world who have this guilt that, you know, I'm not doing Swami's work most of the time. Suddenly now this becomes part of Swami's work.
Yes.
And he's very beautifully done this.
Yes.
So what it reminds me of is, Shivamanasa Puja is a beautiful work of Sri Adi Shankaracharya, one of the many beautiful works of Adi Shankaracharya. In the concluding portion of Manasa Puja, as it indicates, is mental worship of the Lord, and Swami has many times spoken about the efficacy of mental worship.
Yes.
In the concluding portions, Adi Shankara actually says, Atmatvam Girija Mati Sahacharaha Pranaha Shariram Griham Pujate Vishayopa Bhogarachana Nidra Samadhi Stitihi Sancharaha Padayoho Pradakshina Vidhi Stotrani Sarva Giro Yadyat Karma Karomi Tatatakilam Shambho Thavaradhanam. He says, Pujate Vishayopa Bhogarachana. He says, when I am, when I indulge myself, in the pleasures of the world, with food or whatever it is, and that's the part which Swami said, a little bit of bhoga is required. He says, oh my Lord, please consider that also as a worship.
Yes.
Now that is Shankara's request, and Swami has answered that in Prabhupada when he's saying, okay, considered. Okay. Considered, that is also a part of puja. It's also Shankara on our behalf, on the behalf of entire humanity, makes a request.
Yes.
And then Swami says, okay, done. And then he's approved it in this document called Prabhupada. So puja, he says that when I indulge in the pleasures of the world, may I consider that as your puja or your worship. Puja te vishyopa bhogarachana nidra samadhi stitihi. When I lie down to sleep for the day, my Lord, may that be considered as samadhi. Nidra samadhi sthiti sancharaha padeho pradakshina vidhi. Wherever I walk, like Swami says, whether I walk to the bazaar, whether I walk to the temple, whether I am going around in prashantrilyam, wherever I walk, O Lord, may it be your circumambulation, your pradakshina.
Yes.
So sancharaha padeho pradakshina vidhi, and the next line is beautiful. Stotrani sarva giro. He says that all sounds, he doesn't say even words, which means I cough, I sneeze, I praise somebody, I abuse somebody, whatever noise emerges from me. And giro is not hill, it's actually giro is sound here.
Mm-hmm.
So stotrani sarva giro, all that may it be your stotra, may it be hymns uttered in your praise. Yadyat karma karomi tatadakilam shambho tavaradhanam. Whatever action I do, my Lord, may this be considered your worship. And after that he says, karacharana kritamva kayajam karma jamva.
No,
so he's been very clever.
He tells, start from the beginning.
Atmatvam girishamati sahacharaha.
Basically, you are my atma,
atma.
My mind is Mother Parvati.
Yes,
exactly.
Starts like that.
He's taken an anticipatory bail essentially. So. And so he does that, and then he says, let all this be work, and then he has the guts, since you've done all that, very rightfully you say, okay, so thus, karacharana kritamva, kayajam karma jamva, shravana dayana jamva, whatever I do, because if everything is done in a sense of worship to the Lord. So it reminds me in Vrindavan once, brother Swami was saying, I remember Swami speaking to us, and Swami said, sometimes, and it was very clear, I felt Swami was not just talking about the audience in front of him. I felt that it was meant for my own mother or, people, ladies who slog out at home, who many times are not even able to participate in the Sai organization activities.
Yes.
So there Swami was actually saying, see, sometimes when you have to clean a room, wipe a room clean. No, I don't do that. So clearly that message is not for me. Except, to get those cleanliness prices which we have to have in the hostel. Otherwise, so he's saying when you clean the room, Shuddham chese samayam lo, Swami said when you clean, Swami said you should think that you're actually not cleaning the room, you're actually cleaning your heart. You're cleaning your heart. Similarly, Swami is saying that when you spread chapati, this is Swami's own, Swami's example. He said,
exactly.
I'm actually, Swami said, my heart, no, nenu visaram ches. That is, I'm actually broadening my heart. So beautiful, no? So what Swami has beautifully done is, he spiritualizes the most mundane act. And that's, I think, what Swami has talked about here.
Yes.
Swami has come up with a paragraph which is very, very inclusive. I mean, today we talk of inclusive growth. Now this is inclusive spiritual growth. I mean, Swami has brought everybody in, because anybody irrespective of what sphere of life they are in or their background has an opportunity actually to lead a spiritual life, is what Swami seems to say in 7.2.
And that's why he kept that as our night prayer. After you finish everything, offer everything to me, and then.
Yes.
Just to add to this, I remember it was 2008 or 9, Jan 1st, we have an alumni meet. All of us meet here, and Swami, In his mercy, he gave us a Poonchandra session. All ex-students will gather in Poonchandra auditorium, and Swami will just give a small session. He'll interact, he'll give a discourse.
Yes.
So, in that particular year, I think 2009, Jan 1st it was. So, Swami told, okay, any questions you ask me. So, students are excited. I can directly ask Swami any question I want. So, I remember the same thing what he was telling me. One boy got up and asked the same question. He told Swami, I'm staying in US. I do my work 15 hours a day. I am not at all getting any time to do anything called a service. what should I do? I don't have anything. How can I be close to you? How can I do spiritual sadhana or work? Same thing. Swami told very, very clearly. He just heard him and told, what is there? Whatever you do, offer it to me.
Yes.
Whatever you think that you're doing it for me. That's enough.
Yes.
But there's a big catch in that. Because basically you're saying, do all work as Swami's work.
Yes.
Now, to do something as Swami's work is extremely difficult. Now, imagine you have to do office work as Swami's work, which means you will actually, for example, if I'm preparing a document, I'll have to actually imagine that the end user of this document is Swami.
Yes.
And if the end user of this document is Swami, what is the perfection with which I would actually have to do it?
Yes.
And you know, with what feeling? In fact, I think very beautifully you're slowly leading us on to the second, third part where Swami talks about, okay, you do work like this, you should not, you know, have any trace of desire for the fruit, because that's when it becomes Swami's work.
Swami's work.
So there are very strict criteria for something to qualify as Swami's work.
It's a little difficult. It's like when you're really working at a mundane level, not having a fruit, people say, what is this? I have a growth target. I have some targets to meet. Okay, I have to do it this way. How can you? It's a very natural question for anyone.
So one thing which, I mean, I don't say it works 100% of the time, but sometimes when I get into this fear, and I don't claim I do it 100% perfect. One thing I've tried, and I think which is reasonably effective, is whenever you know you get disillusioned, you know you're very upset about a task you have to do, I try to imagine that my managing director of this company is actually Swami.
Yes.
So what happens is, whatever you're doing, whether it's your sales targets or whatever you have to do in terms of your deliverables, suddenly becomes something which is going to be offered to him. So you would actually close your eyes, visualize that at the end of the day, you know, this file is going to be Swami, and then I would imagine Swami is going to open the email and check the document. So then it becomes, you know, at least it helps you to make an attempt, I think, to work towards what Swami envisages in Prema Vahini.
You just heard part one of our program, Vahini Satsang. This episode was first aired on the 20th April 2017 as part of Thursday Live from Prashantinilayam on Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. We hope you enjoyed it. Your feedback is very important to us. Please email your thoughts to listener@radiosai.org. You can catch the next part of this right here, same time, same place, next week. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.